Turn to Acts chapter 6 again, if you would, this morning. We're in a series of messages titled Building for Blessing. Specifically, we're looking at stories from the book of Acts that reinforce a principle that we not only see within Scripture, but it's a principle that we see within our lives as well. And it is basically this: there are times when God will do things in our lives in one season that prepares us for what he wants to do in the next. We've seen this so far in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 6, and Acts chapter 8. In a couple weeks, we're going to see it again in Acts chapter 15 and 16, where God does these things in one season in our lives so that he is able to prepare us for what he wants to do in the next season. God will often do the structural in our lives before he does the supernatural. He begins a work within us, helping us build the support structure that we need so that we can handle the blessings that he wants to pour out. We've journeyed so far through the book of Acts, and we've discovered some truths along the way that kind of become the foundation of these messages and of this series. We've learned that sometimes God's blessings come through seasons of change in our life. At other times, like we discussed last week, God will choose to work in us as we navigate through conflict that happens at times. Have you ever had conflict in your life happen? Have you ever had change happen? Might be God is doing a work in you as you go through those seasons. And today we're going to look at how God prepares us for his blessings by building and strengthening our character. We're going to talk about character today. Throughout this message, we're going to talk a bit about who we are, but in a greater sense, I want to talk about who we are becoming. The subject of character can be approached from a lot of different angles as we look at Scripture. In the book of Proverbs alone, we see it over and over again, insight in insight, how we are to develop character. But this morning, we're mostly going to be focusing on our passage, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. But as I do, I just want to speak this little truth and point out this fact this morning, and it is this, as we talk about character. A lack of character leads to a loss of blessing. If you're taking notes this morning, that might be worth writing down because it's going to kind of help us navigate a little bit through these points we talk about this morning. A lack of character leads to a loss of blessing in our lives. If we lack character, we won't be able to support the blessings that he wants to bring. But the opposite of that is true as well, is that strength of character in our lives, it positions us to receive God's support in our lives through his blessings. So if you want God's blessings in your life, I know I do, I can't speak for you, but I want his blessings, it's important that we develop and we build up our character. Because sometimes your character is the structural work that God wants to use in your life to build that infrastructure so that way he can do the supernatural things that he desires to do. I'm not sure if you've ever noticed this before, but we have a camera in the back of the room. Everyone look back at our camera up here and everyone say, hi, Braden. We have a camera set up here in the back of the room. Maybe you walk by it, you've seen it so often, you forget it's even there. It's there because that camera is recording right now. It's capturing what's happening here in the service, and it's going to our live stream, which is live on Facebook right now, and then later it'll be posted on our website as well, so you can see that. I'm so grateful for Braden and Josh and Isaac, who volunteer week after week to make sure that that camera is running. So that way that signal can go out and people can hear and see our services. So thank you to our... doing their part of ministry. Everyone can do a part, amen? We're grateful for what they do. So the camera is back there. There's a camera, but I want you to also notice is there's a tripod, a three-legged tripod that camera is sitting on. And here's the thing is, that tripod reminds me of character because our character, in one way or another, affects how we see the world. Not only that, it helps us project how the world sees us. In fact, I've got a tripod here this morning. There's no camera on here. You're gonna have to use your imagination. But it's kind of like the tripod in the back. It's holding that camera that's recording right now. But I'm gonna use this tripod today as we're walking through this. Because I'm gonna talk about three legs of strong character. If you've ever used a tripod before, one of the things is you want to try to make sure that all the legs are level because they can be adjusted at many points. You can make this leg shorter, but if you make that leg shorter, it's not going to support the way that you want it to support. So when you have these legs, you need all of them to work in tandem to be able to support the thing that's most important is this camera so it can record. But it's also today representing our character. Three legs of strong character that I want to talk about this morning. Three things that our character rests on, if you will. And these examples come directly from Acts chapter 6. And so let's go back to the story that we've been working through so far in this series for examples that relate to the legs on this tripod. Okay, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. In those days, when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Okay, we talked about that when we talked about conflict already in this series. Okay, so we've already mentioned that. Let's go on. Verse 2. So the 12, I'm going to pause. The 12 represent the apostles, those that Jesus called by name to come and follow him. Okay, those are the 12. They gathered all the disciples together. That's all the other disciples in Jerusalem. And said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. So there was something about the character of these 7 men that caused the church to put them in positions of leadership. In fact, if you read Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 8, we're not going to do that today. That can be your homework this week. If you go through Acts 7 and 8, you see how their character led them to some of the most influential things that happened in the book of Acts. There were instrumental things that were taking place, like game-changing moments in the kingdom of God, where now the gospel was being presented to both the Jews and the Gentiles. We see how God used men like Stephen and Philip in supernatural ways because their lives had been developed with character that was needed to be used by him. I could go on and on, but we're not going to talk about chapter 7 and 8 this morning. I want to focus on three legs of strong character that are laid out for us in chapter 6. But before I do that, can you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that we can gather freely in a place like this to worship you. Thank you for all those who've made this day possible, Lord. Generations past who believed in the work of God happening here in the valley and participated in ministry here at Wenatchee First Assembly. God, I think of the people who are presently, Lord, a part of what you're doing here and now, Father, as we are about your mission to help people find and follow Jesus. Lord, may everything that takes place this day be centered around who you are, what your heart is for your people, God, and what you want to do in and through us. But Lord, we recognize that character is so important as we serve you. I pray, Lord, that today as we look into your word, that we will be encouraged, that we will be built up. And by the end of the service, as we gather around the time of communion, Father, I pray, God, that we will hear you speaking in clarity to our voice, God, that you will help us see you in these moments that we spend together. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. 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 All right, if you have your notes, we're going to jump into this. The first leg I want to discuss this morning is the leg of integrity. Integrity reveals character. Or let me say that another way. Your integrity reveals your character. My integrity reveals my character. The reason that these 7 men were chosen to be leaders was based on their character. That was the criteria that was given. Yes, they had a supernatural calling of God on their life, and God used them to speak and to show truth later on in the book of Acts. But again, they were chosen because of their character, who they were. And we see this in the picture of integrity as well, that there's something about their character that led other people to say, this is what they are like. I've seen them. I've watched them. This is what they're like. Who we believe them to be matches up with who they really are. See, that's what integrity is. Think of it this way. You'd never want to drive over a bridge if it lacked integrity, right? We have 2 bridges. They're going to build a 3rd one eventually, right? In our valley here, you want to go across the river. You want to go across the river with a bridge that has integrity to it. You want that. Not only do you want it to look that way, you want it to be that way. Amen? You can make it all shiny, right? You can make it look all good, but you want it to be that way. That's why the apostle said, you choose seven men who are known to be, not just men who say that they are or that they pretend to be, but men who actually have integrity. So my question would be this, are you who you are known to be with your reputation? Do those two things match up? Not only do you look like a good bridge, but you actually have the support to support those things in your life. Does your walk match your talk? Are you who you are known to be? Are you the person others say that you are? And this question really gets us, right? It gets us because we get upset when we see people like crooked politicians or maybe opportunistic entertainers who take advantage of things or cheating athletes. Houston Astros, sorry. Congratulations to the Dodgers. Ralph, to our sound man this morning, lifelong Dodger fan, Rebecca Fain, congratulations for today. Or we see people who lack integrity, right? Someone who says that they're one thing, but then when it comes to light of who they really are, it's actually something different. When you get down to their integrity, it's not there. It doesn't support them. So this leg of integrity that we're talking about this morning is so important. In fact, it's huge when it comes to character. King Solomon talks about this in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. Love the wisdom that comes from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 10:9, Solomon says this, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever walks or takes crooked paths will be found out. That's a powerful verse. Let that settle in your spirit for a second. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. If you know that you're walking in security, you're doing the right thing, you're not trying to deceive anything, you're not trying to cut corners, you're not trying to cheat, there's security in that. But when you take the crooked path, Solomon says, you will be found out. How many of you grew up playing hide and seek? Just raise your hand with me. That's probably 99.999% of us. We've played hide and seek before. I liked playing hide and seek when I was growing up. Sometimes we'd play inside. Sometimes we'd play outside, especially if it was the summer and the warm weather's around. We'd play outside. We were blessed to have a house that we had a bunch of woods and trees behind us. So sometimes we'd play out there or play inside. But my most favorite place to play hide and go seek was my grandpa's church in South Seattle. This, I don't know how old this building was, but it had everything. The footprint of this building, there was balconies, there was basements, there were like these cupola towers that were three stories high with stained glass stairwells going up. There were so many good hiding places in the church. And we liked to play. Sometimes it was after church because grandpa would be around for quite a while and parents would be lingering and kids would go and play hide and go seek. That's what we did. But of all the places you could hide in my grandpa's church, the best place was the baptismal tank. had this little cover over it, right? And so that was kind of like my go-to, especially if there was new kids visiting church, that was my go-to. Get in the baptismal tank, had a little cover, and I would just leave this little tiny crack on the top of it so I can kind of peek out and see what was going on. And you'd wait, and then eventually you hear the countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ready or not, here I come. And then you lay still. You don't move. You barely breathe. You do not want to be found out, right? And wait and wait and wait. And eventually, I'm peeking in the back of the sanctuary. I could see the seeker looking around, eventually coming in, starting to look under the pews. As they start making their way towards the baptismal tank, my heart starts to pick up a little bit, gets a little more tense, kind of starts moving. Because, you know, I don't want to be found out. I'm hiding. I've got the best place in the whole church to hide. I don't want to be found out. And my heart's starting to race. It gets closer and closer and closer. And then I've got a decision to make, right? Am I going to stay put or am I going to try to sneak out and get out of there before I'm found? Or do I stay and not make any noise and try to remain there? Have you ever felt like that before? Playing hide and go seek? Like, you know they're coming after you and you don't want to be the one? Maybe you've been there before. Maybe you have your hiding places, like you're hiding behind a curtain, or you're hiding under the bed, or you're hiding in the laundry hamper, which was my kids' favorite spot to hide. I always looked in that laundry hamper first, right? Underneath all the stuff. You've been there and you've been waiting, and you see that, oh, they're coming, I might get found out, and your heart starts racing. And that's why you feel the way you do, because you don't want to be found out. You want to remain hidden. You want to stay in the game. But friends, it's one thing when we're playing hide and go seek, but it's another thing that when we try to hide things in our lives. And that's those kind of moments, it's a horrible feeling when your heart starts racing, right? And that tense feeling comes because you think, what if this gets out? What if someone really knows what happens? What if people realize I'm not the person that I say I am? Friends, the reality is you don't have to live with those kind of feelings. You don't have to live in that way, wondering if you're going to be found out, because you know what it comes down to? It comes down to a choice of integrity. That's where it comes. Integrity. Because whoever walks in integrity walks securely. When we choose to walk in that security. There's a story in Acts chapter 5 about a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. I find it interesting that their story precedes where we are today in Acts chapter 6, where we have these seven men who were chosen to be leaders in the church because of their character and their integrity. But the story of Ananias and Sapphira is notable because it's notable because they had a lack of integrity. If you don't know the story, just let me give you a little bit of a snippet of what happened. If you're not familiar with them, this couple sold some land, some property, and they lied about the proceeds of it, claiming one thing, but then doing something different. And because they were being deceitful before God and before others, wanting people to think of them in a certain way, they got themselves in some trouble. And we can unpack that story in a lot of different ways. We're not going to do that this morning, but the bottom line is this. When Ananias, the man, had the opportunity to tell the truth, he lied. And as a result, he was struck dead. Why? Because he had a lack of integrity. When this happened, his wife wasn't around. I'm not sure where she was, but she was out doing something. And when she got back, she was anticipating seeing her husband Ananias to be there when she got back, but he wasn't. And I want us to watch what happens, because she also lied as well. Acts chapter 5, verses 9 through 11 says this. Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. It was a lack of integrity that stole not only their blessing, but it also cost them their lives. Few things have the potential to knock down your character right out from underneath you than a lack of integrity does. But I can also tell you this, few things are as impactful than when we have consistency of character in our lives. You see, when you have consistency of a character, that is integrity. And few things are as impactful in your life and as impactful in the lives around you when you walk in integrity. So this first leg of strong character we're talking about is integrity, but I want us to move on to the second one this morning, and we'll see in our story, Acts chapter 6, as we look at verse 3 again. I don't know if we have it up there. If we can pull it back up there, there we go. It says, "Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you," okay, because of their character, "who are known to be," that's their integrity, "full of the Spirit and wisdom." That's the second leg of strong character, is wisdom. Point two, wisdom develops our character. If we want character in our lives, it starts with integrity. That's the beginning point, the starting line. But with that, we also need wisdom, because wisdom helps develop our character. The Bible is full of teachings of wisdom. In fact, there are certain books in the Bible that come under the umbrella of what's called wisdom literature. Books like the book of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs. But here's a good question that we can ask ourselves this morning. Do I respond with wisdom when facing difficult moments in my life? Think about that for a moment. Maybe you've had some difficulty in your life this week or previous weeks. Have you made decisions based on wisdom? Did you respond with wisdom in those moments? Because the reality is this: our character shows itself when challenges in life come. In those tense-filled moments, that's when our character, what it really is, that's what shows up at the forefront of our lives. Am I responding with wisdom in moments like that? And what exactly do I mean by wisdom? Well, wisdom can be thought of in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different lenses you can look at wisdom. We could look at wisdom as it pertains to knowledge of the Word of God. How much wisdom do you have from Scripture and about Scripture? Sometimes when we talk about wisdom, we think about someone who might have a certain skill set in their life, and they can give wisdom based on professional or technical things that they know from experience, or when someone has the right words to say and they're able to speak with knowledge about certain things in certain moments, we'll say, man, that person is very, very wise. They have much wisdom to speak into this situation in. But one of the things that I think that gets overlooked when it comes to wisdom is this, is that your character and my character in times of pressure reveal our wisdom. When we get into those moments, those pressure cooker moments in life, how we handle those challenges as they come, whether we know they're coming or they just pop up, not only do they reveal our character, but they will also reveal our wisdom. And when those moments come, we need to decide, how am I going to respond? Because if we fail to respond the right way, that's when disaster can come. What happens under pressure can compromise our character. And that's why we need to have wisdom to know how we were to respond in those moments. What do you do when pressures come? And when you have to make those difficult decisions? You know, being a dad, one of the things with my kids, you know, they started getting their driver's license and started driving and realizing the things that they need to know ahead of time before they hit the road. Like, okay, this is a spare tire, this is a jack. I probably haven't done a good enough job with them, because you want to prepare for those things before it even comes, because when the pressure comes, you want to be able to react in the moment in the best way possible with the wisdom that has been shared and handed down. And so if you ever see my kids broken down on the side of the road and they don't know how to change a tire, it's on me, all right? Help them out, please. But those moments you prepare ahead of time. I found an interesting quote as I was preparing for the message this week. And this quote says this: courage is knowing that it might hurt and doing it anyway. Courage is knowing that it might hurt and doing it anyway. But that's not the end of the quote. The quote goes on to say, stupidity is the same. Think about that for a minute. Courage is knowing that it might hurt and doing it anyway, and stupidity is knowing that it might hurt and doing it anyway. But that's not the end of the quote. Here's the end of the quote: and that's why life is hard. Right? Because we have to know the difference between the two. How do we know the difference between the two? Wisdom. We need wisdom, right? We've got to know what to do in those moments. What's courage? What's stupidity? How am I going to respond in that moment, in that time of pressure? How do I maintain my character through this? I need wisdom, right? But where does that wisdom come from? Oh, there's a lot of people in the world who want to try to give wisdom. You can get on the internet and you can get all different kinds of searches going on where we gain wisdom, but where does our wisdom come from? Well, let's go back to Proverbs, one of these books of wisdom, these wisdom literature that is put into Scripture. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10 says, if you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? Think about it again. If you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? As you read that verse, you might look at that and think it's condemning or it's disparaging in some kind of way. But really, when I look at that, I think what we need to see is that all of us will have times of trouble in life, right? We will all have times of trouble. And if we falter in those moments and in those times, the reason we have small strength is because we've forgotten where our strength comes from. Can I say that again? If we falter in those times, it's because we've gotten our vision out of where our strength actually comes from. Yes, our strength is small when we compare it to who our strength comes from, and that is God. Amen. Wisdom reminds me that God is my sustainer in times of trouble. God is not looking to me to sustain it all. Thank you, Jesus. He's my sustainer. He gives me strength. He is the one who helps me. That's how my character is maintained. Wisdom helps me with the perspective I need, remembering who God is and who I am in perspective to who he is. Wisdom reassures me that my strength, or God is my strength in times of fear. That's what wisdom reassures me of. How do I maintain character in those fearful moments? It's the wisdom to know that it's not me who has to do it. When I'm facing those things, it's not me, like David standing before Goliath. Wisdom points out it's not my small strength, but it's his great strength. See, that's what wisdom helps position us to see in those moments, because fear can come in a lot of different forms. All of us can be fearful. In fact, if you look online, there was one time, there's like 20,000 phobias that are documented or something like that. You can be fearful about just about everything in life. So there's lots of fear. It comes in a lot of different forms. But sometimes our character is challenged when we are fearful about what someone thinks about us or what they say about us. Let's go back to the book of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 29. Verse 25, it says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. So if we desire wisdom and strong character, it comes from trusting in the Lord and not trusting in men, not putting our trust in people. Trusting in what other people think and what they say is only walking into a trap, right? You're setting yourself for failure. But trust in God will keep us safe. If we desire wisdom and strong character, it comes by trusting in the Lord. In fact, if we're going to go back to this idea of fear of man, it would probably be wise for us to go to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, and read about what we really should be fearful of. Proverbs 9:10 says this, "Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added into your life." So it kind of brings us around full circle here. In times of pressure, wisdom reminds me that I find it in God. Fear of the Lord means that I honor him and that I respect him. And in those moments when my character is being tested, I have the wisdom to know that it's really not about me. My strength is small. And if I fear others, it's nothing more than walking into a trap. But when I start to, with the fear of God, when I begin there as my starting point, I gain wisdom to know that my character is based on who he is even more than it's based on who I am. That's where it's based, who he is. In times of pressure, wisdom leads us back to our sustainer. And that's where our character rests and trusts in him. So three legs. We've got to have three legs when you have a tripod. We've got to be able to support whatever is being mounted on that. If we had a camera here, be supporting that. First leg has got to be that integrity. That's that starting point. And then you have wisdom. But it's a tripod, so you have a third leg. And I want us to look again at our scripture this morning to see what leg three is. Acts 6:3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit. Leg three we're going to talk about is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit empowers character. If you want to be a person of character, it starts when we allow the Holy Spirit to empower you and to have that kind of character in your life. The apostle said, pick for us people who are full of the Spirit. And so the questions that we should ask ourselves, me included this morning, is am I full of the Holy Spirit? Are we full of the Spirit? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives? Because the fact of the matter is, friends, something is filling us. The question is, what is it? What are we filling our lives with? See, we usually fill our lives with things that we are passionate about, or things that motivate us. Those things can be good and they can be great things. I'm not saying you can't have those things as a part of your life, but they should never crowd out the work of the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do in us. So that question worth asking is, how do I know if I'm full of the Holy Spirit? Now, on one hand, that's a theological question, especially if you come from a Pentecostal background, right? You come from that tradition, it's easy to say, I am or I am not filled with the Spirit. But Scripture contains so much more for us to consider with this. And we can spend weeks talking about it, but the question is, how do I know that I am full of the Holy Spirit? Well, there's three things I want to mention really quickly. It says this: ask yourself, is the fruit of the Spirit growing in my life? Pastor Annie right now is teaching on Wednesday nights with our kids club. She's taking them through the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, she was just recently trying to buy a lemon tree, I think, or something, to have upstairs in the classroom as a visual aid. Is the fruit of the Spirit growing in my life? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So that's the kind of fruit that grows in our life that the Holy Spirit will produce in us. And since we live in the apple capital of the world, right, we know that trying to plant orange trees in Wenatchee is probably not a very good idea, because it's not going to work. It's the wrong climate. You can't produce oranges in this valley because the trees will never take root here. It won't work. They will not be fruitful. They wouldn't grow. But we do know the kind of trees that do work, because we see them as we drive throughout the valley. We know the type of fruit that is good to grow here in this area. But with that being said, what is growing in your life, in the soil of your life? Love, peace, kindness, goodness. What's growing in you? Do you even remember a project? Maybe you were growing up, I remember it. It could have been from a Sunday school teacher. It could have been from an elementary school teacher, where they had this idea that we're going to take this styrofoam cup, we're going to have the kids dig up some dirt and put some dirt in the bottom of that cup. And then we're going to give these kids some seeds, and they're going to put the seeds down in that dirt, and then we're going to just put a little bit of water on that, because they know the kids are going to love this, right? The parents are going to hate this, but the kids are going to love it, right? Because they're going to take that cup home, and those kids are going to ask every half hour, on the hour, Mom, is it growing yet? Is it growing? Is there something happening in there? And they'll put it on the counter in the sun, whatever. And they'll come back a half hour later. Mom, do you see anything yet? Is it growing? Do you see any? Is there something green popping out? I don't know what kind of seeds they put in there, because mine never grew. They never worked. But anyway, it could have been anything, right? There were seeds in there, and I was trying to make them work, and Mom put it in the window, but constantly, always checking, always looking, is it growing? Is there life there? Is there something? I want to see this grow, because I want to be able to tell my teacher, it worked. I did the dirt, and I did the seed, and I put the water, and so there's a constant, always checking on it, always looking at it, in the middle of the night with a flashlight, looking in the bottom of that cup, is there something there? But then, if it didn't work, then the parents had to do a little plant funeral. Just kind of let that go. It's easier than the goldfish funeral, but anyway, just a little, because the kids are disappointed, because they were constantly looking. They were hoping to see growth. They wanted to see something spring up from there. You guys ever do that? Yeah, I did. I remember when I was a kid. I remember. There was that constant always checking. And I wonder if I would be at a better place in my life if I every so often had the heart of that little child looking down into that cup to see if there was growth. If I would look as frequently in my life to see if there was fruit of the Spirit growing in me. Maybe it would be better that I would just, as dedicated as I was trying to grow this little whatever seed out of this dirt and styrofoam cup, that if I would look at my life and maybe check it more often to see what's growing in me. Is there any joy that's growing in my life? Maybe, am I exhibiting more patience in my walk every day? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to be at work in my life in such a way that when people look at me, they can actually see Him at work? Is the Spirit, are the fruit of the Spirit growing in my life? Is it growing in your life? Here's another way that we can think about being full of the Spirit. You can read in Acts chapter 8, the story of Philip. He was one of the seven men that was chosen in chapter 6. He was one of those seven. And because of persecution that was happening in the church at that time, many of the believers had to flee. They had to run from their lives. They had to leave their homes and their families and friends, and they had to go and they had to disperse, and they would leave to go to different places. But as Philip and these other Christian believers who had to leave because of persecution, when they landed to the place where they were going to, the Bible says that they began to preach and tell people about Jesus right where they were at. So they had come from this time of persecution, these things that were happening that the early church probably didn't expect, but yet they were dispersed. And so they went to these places that they fled to, but then they took the opportunity to preach and tell the good news about Jesus. And as I think about that and I look at my life, here's my tendency, friends. Sometimes when difficulties come that I'm not expecting, things that I haven't asked for nor want, when those things happen in my life that are inconvenient, maybe they're disruptive, maybe they're painful, maybe I might even consider them to be, I don't know, persecutionish in my life, if I can use such a word, I tend to pull back. I say, I don't want this to happen to me. That's my tendency. I want to pull back. I want to protect. I don't want to go through those difficulties. I don't want to endure those hardships. I don't want to face those kind of things. That's my tendency. I'm probably the only person in the room who feels that way. I don't want to face it. I don't want to go through that. I pull back. But instead, what do we see Philip do? He says, Holy Spirit, if you want to work through this situation in my life, if you want to use what I'm going through so that way Jesus can be proclaimed and Jesus can be known, then do it through my life. I'm not where I was before. I had to flee, but you know what? This is where I am right now. And God, if you can use me, Holy Spirit, speak through my life right here and right now. I let you do that. I give you the ability and the free rein in my life to do that right now. Friends, if we love it, I will say this, we love it when the Spirit of God works in us. I like it when the Spirit of God works in me. But are we allowing the Spirit of God to work through us? Are we like a conduit? Are we allowing Him to pour into us so that way it can be poured out of us? Because when we're full of the Holy Spirit, that's what's in us. That is what will come out. And Acts chapter 8 shows us that if we're allowing to let the Holy Spirit work in through our lives, that He will lead us to eternal opportunities and to divine appointments if we will allow Him to work through us. And that leads us to my final question, is this about the Holy Spirit. Am I obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life? Am I obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life? When you think about character and being full of the Holy Spirit, are you obedient to the things that He is leading you in your life? Here's the steering wheel, Lord. You lead me, not me. I want you to take leadership of my life. I don't want to do it, not me. I'll follow your leadership. I'll listen to your voice. I'll read your word and I'll do what it says. Let my character not be built on just what I want, but on what you want for me, Lord. That's what I desire. That's what I want. And friends, this morning, as we consider character in the light of integrity, in wisdom and the fullness of the Spirit, it can feel a little bit overwhelming to us at times when you try to take all that in. Because for many of us, It's easy to see where we might fall short in some of those areas. I don't know if I can do that, Pastor Darth. I don't know. I don't think I have what it takes to live up to those kind of standards in my life. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what I've experienced and my struggles have been. I don't know if I'm made for that. But even as I think about Acts chapter 6 and I think about how the instructions were given for them to find men who are full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit, I think of myself sometimes that way. Would I have been a person who had been considered for that? Just being real and honest. Where do I align in that myself? Maybe some of you feel the same. And if that's the case, it's good to be a part of a family like this because we can hear from the Lord as he speaks into our lives. But if we feel like that and we process that like I've been kind of working through this week, then I realize when I think that way, I'm putting the entire burden of those things all on myself. When it comes to my character, my integrity, and wisdom, and all these things, when I think that way, that's too much, it's too hard, then I'm putting all the burden on me. When actually this idea of integrity is when we allow God to build up our faith in such a way that it helps us live the life that he wants you to live. So it's this idea of integrity, even though largely it's a part of our decisions and our choices, God says, guess what? I'll help you with that. I'm alongside you in this. Isn't that freeing to know? That's not just us, that we have to burden or carry that burden all in of ourselves. And when we consider this idea of wisdom, I was thinking about this week as we've been looking at the scripture together, I realize that my life finds wisdom in knowing him more and knowing me less. Okay, so wisdom is found in him, not necessarily what I come up with. And the third thing when I think about my life in relation to the Holy Spirit and his work in my life, knowing that he wants to fill me. He wants to fill you. He wants to work in our lives. So this idea of character is that we don't have to do this alone. It's not just on our shoulders. Character does not solely rest on you. Say, whew, that's good to know. These strong legs, a strong character come when I realize, God, this is a partnership between me and you. We are partners in this. It's a dependency, God. I need your help. I need your help. I need these things. This is where my character is, but I need these strong legs, strong character in my life, but I need your help as this is built in me because I don't have the strength. If it was just me having to carry the weight of all of this, it's impossible. But it's that partnership, it's that dependency, knowing that he will help us with our life in this area of character. And in a world that is losing character, it seems like daily, or where there's so few examples of character that we can find, I don't want us to miss this fact this morning, friends, is that God actually wants to give us the tools we need to be people of character. But in order for that to happen, we need to tune into him and let him do it in our lives. And we do this as we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit at work in us. I want to invite the worship team to come out and join me. I'm going to move my tripod and move a couple things out of the way. As I think about tuning into the Holy Spirit and hearing what he wants us to do, I'm reminded of two things as I was growing up. Maybe you relate to these two things, the radio and television. Now, when I was growing up, as many of you could probably attest to as well, if I wanted to hear a song, I had to go to the radio because there wasn't compact disc. I didn't have Spotify that I could pull up on my phone to listen to a song. So I had to go to a radio that had a dial on the front of it. And I turned that on, and you could see all the frequencies listed there. And if I wanted to hear a song, I would turn on the radio, and I began to turn that dial so that it would tune into a particular radio frequency that was out there. Because we can't see those things. We know they're out there, but we had to tune into that frequency so that we could be able to hear it. And so I would do that. If I wanted to hear a song, I'd take that dial, and I'd listen. Something like, oh, there it is. And you get it just right. Sometimes a little static. You had to move it around, and finally you could hear what you wanted to hear. But you had to be tuned in to be able to hear it. Same thing with TV. We had our TV downstairs, kind of by our fireplace. It was just big, big, big TV. There was a dial on the front of it. You got to, like, I don't know, like 12 channels or something like that. But if you want to watch something, you turn to that channel. But if the signal wasn't really good, we had this thing on top of our TV called an antenna. A rabbit ear antenna. Come on, somebody. And then my dad would say, "Darth, go move the antenna." He'd be sitting over there, I'm like, moving it. Okay, right, no left. All right, good, stop. And I'd stop. And we got the picture as good as we could get it because those rabbit ear antenna were trying to pick up the signal that was coming from a tower somewhere in Seattle. If I wanted to watch TV, we wouldn't have the clearest picture. I had to tune it in. Just like I had to tune in on the radio if I wanted to hear those songs. Took a little effort, took some intentionality, but it was worth it because we can enjoy those things. And friends, if you're in a place in your life where you want to develop character, do you know where it starts? It's when we tune into the Holy Spirit. We can't see the Holy Spirit around us, but we know that He's here. And we know that the Holy Spirit speaks, but we need to tune into what He says. He will help you be a person of integrity. He will help you be a person with wisdom, and He will fill you with what you need. But it won't happen unless we tune in to hear Him speak into our lives. It might be something as simple as saying, "Holy Spirit, I need your help. I can't do this on my own." It might be as simple as that. And I don't know if you pray a prayer like that, if you'll hear an audible voice, but I do promise you this, that sometimes God will speak to you through giving you peace. Sometimes He will impart to you some wisdom and something that you are facing right now in your life that you're not sure what to do. I believe that many times He will speak in those ways as well. Maybe you're making a decision and you need that wisdom. God will grant it to you. I know that He will help you and that you don't have to do these things on your own. So as we get ready to move into a time of communion, I just want us to take a moment. And I'm going to ask us to stand. Would you stand with me all across this room this morning? I want us to prepare our hearts, and I want us to tune in to maybe what the Holy Spirit might be saying to us this morning. I don't know the things that you're facing, that you're going through, the decisions that are before you. I don't know what struggles you're having, character issues in your life. But right now, we're going to go to worship, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak and to move in us so that way we're ready to gather around the communion table to receive the elements, the bread and the juice representing what Jesus has done for us through His sacrifice on the cross. So Father, this morning we come before You as we are, imperfect people who love a holy and just God. And I pray right now as we prepare our hearts, as we listen, God, as we tune our ears into You, God, may we hear You speaking. Whatever You want to do, whatever You want to say in us, Lord, in a moment like this, God, we just commit everything that we are, our character, our integrity. God, we think and look to You for wisdom and for the fullness of Spirit that You want to bring into our lives. Holy Spirit, have Your way in this moment, we pray. God, as we tune in to what You want to do in us, in Jesus' name.